Welcome to Heartbeat, a podcast run by Alta One College, where we discuss how to flourish in all things life, work, and relationships. We'll listen to the stories and wisdom of our staff and draw upon outside guests who are practitioners in their field. We hope these episodes inspire and equip you to flourish, whether in the context of Alta One or beyond, to the rest of life. Well, we are your hosts, myself, Nathan, and we've got, who we got here?
Mark, the Maestro Godfrey.
Mark, the Maestro Godfrey. I feel like I need to come up with Nathan, the...
The negligent?
No. I'm joking. Definitely not negligent, in case anyone's listening and thinking
But we haven't done this for a little while, so this is actually our first podcast for the year.
It is, yes. So it's exciting.
It's very exciting. Exciting.
And I wonder who we've got with us in the room today. Drum roll. So in today's episode, we are speaking to a Major Diane Jarvie, who is sharing about her journey in Alta One and her work and her in her other work as well as a life coach, and to offer us some wisdom in the context of relationships and emotional safety.
No pressure
at all,
Diane. Oh, geez.
I know.
I'm sitting next to Mark. How much wisdom can I get? Come on.
There's a lot.
I'm excited to be on your first podcast. Wow.
Yeah.
Set the bar.
It's up from here.
The bar is set. Is set.
What can go wrong?
That's right. What can go wrong? Well, I mean, anyway, hopefully not too much, but we will launch into some of the questions because we really want to get to know you.
Sure.
And yeah, and so we're excited to have you on, Diane.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you for being here. So maybe just first question, what is your current role in the Salvation Army? I did say major, so maybe that puts a bit of context to
people.
No,
that just makes me old. My current role, I've actually just got a new role in the last 5 weeks, which is, I'll read it because I'm still getting used to it. It's Faith Community Development Secretary Australia. So I'm a national lead, which is based here in WA, which is very exciting. What does that mean, really? That's probably what you want to know.
Yes.
Really, I just have the privilege of leading a fabulous group of officers. So we're all officers in the Salvation Army nationally. And we look at the changing culture and context of faith and how that impacts our front line. So what does that look like? And it's the most fabulous job. So I'm hoping no one knows I'm doing it because I just want to stay in it because it's most fabulous. So we get to explore, you know, all the data and all the messy stuff, but actually how can we make that come alive in our local context? It's so much fun.
So good. Very cool. So I guess with the Salvation Army, I mean, Salvation Army is just such a trusted organisation across Australia, probably internationally, I would suggest.
Yeah.
So I think the thing is for the work that you guys do, which is impacting communities and has done for such a long, long time, tell us a little bit, I guess, about your journey and experience in working with communities, Di.
Okay, so the reason I'm a major is because I've been full-time in the Salvation Army for over 20 years. So I have 20 years of experience in full-time ministry, frontline ministry. Most of that was spent in what we would call core or church space.
Yeah.
And so I spent a lot of time thinking about that and what that means. But I've worked not just in West Australia, so I've come home. I'm a Perth girl, so I've come home because I spent those two fabulous years of COVID in Victoria. That's a little bit of a that's triggering, so we won't go there. But
fair enough.
There is a bit of context around that I'll share later. But I also have worked in Victoria as well. So I've kind of travelled around in this role, which has been great. In South Australia, I was actually with my husband, Andrew, who's not here with us, but we were the state youth and children's secretary. So we looked after everything youth and children's for South Australia right at the time of the Royal Commission when all of our fabulous safeguarding laws changed and everything. So we had to roll out a lot of stuff in that space. So it was pretty intense. Yeah. But I've had so many diverse opportunities to work and gather with community. But before all of that, like I said, I was a Perth girl and I was raised by small business owners who were very connected to their community. Mm-hmm. And so I think my whole life I've had a desire to connect with people, because people are the community, right? So yeah. I've had a whole desire to connect with people and see them flourish. And I think, you know, God wastes nothing. So every part of my life. But I've been privileged enough for the last 20 years to do it full time.
Fantastic. So cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that's exciting. Very cool. So in your experience and study, what would you say are the key factors for organisations desiring to make a positive impact in their local community?
Oh, this is such a huge question right now, right? So it's really, really big. And I just shared a little bit that in Melbourne we were in the fabulous COVID years, but what happened to that time for me is we were actually asked to do a research project around online ministry and how it's impacting frontline, and that just set off a whole series of research, and I don't think I've stopped. I think I've just immersed myself in the way communities are changing, the way they're being impacted by external things. And you know, there's a lot of negative things that came out of COVID, but I think there's a lot of positives that came out of there as well, which is around our flexibility in to work from home and to be in community and be engaged. I think also it made us prioritize our lives. So like people who were really busy before are thinking, I don't want to go back to being that busy anymore. And I think all of this has impacted our local mission.
Is that the research, the thing of not wanting to go back?
Yes. So they were super busy. Like, and even if you talk to people, they go like, I had my kid here and here and here and we never had any time. And then COVID, everything. Certainly in Melbourne, everything stopped. Like you couldn't take anyone everywhere. And they just like, then they chose what they re-picked up.
Interesting.
And so for a lot of them, they didn't pick up church. That was one thing they dropped. They dropped the Sunday because they were like, we're here. And so they had to find other ways to connect in with their spirituality. And I think we could look at that as a negative, or we could look at that as a really big opportunity. Mm. I think it's a really big opportunity. And some of the takeaways from that is that I think for our organisations, we need to be more flexible. We need to be pliable. We need to be able to move. And I think we need a more holistic approach to our community. It's not just about, without being crass, bums on seats on Sunday. Like, how are we actually transforming communities? It's relational. Like, people want relationship. We have so much technology, and this is great. We have so many ways, but actually people want to connect somehow relationally, and they want to make that connection. And I think we have to be really creative and collaborative. Ways that have carried us to this point won't take us into the future. And I think about, like, even as a parent and my children, they just think so differently. Like, they just, totally different. Their minds are different to how we do it, and the expectations would be different. And so, like, I'm sure, Mark, we're of the same vintage. When we grew up, it was like children were seen but not heard. And it's kind of like now children are heard and valued. And so that impact will change our communities, because they will see they have a right to speak and they have a right to what's going on. And it should be that way, because we hid a lot of things back in the dark days, in the old days. Now everything's to light. Kids are curious. They're creative. They're thinking. And that's going to change our communities and how we do things. So partnerships are a big way forward, I think, in creative club, which is how I've come to sit here today, is because we're partnering together in our communities, and we can't do it all by ourselves. We have to look at who's doing that.
And partnerships, I mean, that's a crucial part of why and how Alta Wonder's moved forward
for
the last 20 years, and definitely working now alongside you guys is just a real joy with the Salvation Army. I think because of the values we share for community and for transformation in families, we can see the need. It's massive. And again, like you said, none of us can do it by ourselves.
No.
We need that collaborative approach to transforming a community and impacting in a way that's going to be meaningful and real and tangible and practical.
I think that's probably the biggest change that's happened in the last, I'd suggest 3 to 4 years, is that organisations are wanting to be more collaborative with each other, and not just like, so our team talk about we're the guest in the community. We're not always the host. So we're not in charge all the time. Like, we're coming to save this community. It's actually, we're coming to see where God is already working in this community and partner with those who are journeying with God as well and how they're working. And what can the Salvation Army in our unique, you know, DNA bring to this community that's not already there and how we can partner? So, like, Altar One is perfect because we are working with the same people, just in different seasons of their lives. So you guys might be working with the younger generation around things, but we're probably working with their parents. And so collaborative, we've got a holistic approach to that community, a holistic approach to the family, which is, for me, so exciting.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, often the studies as well around how, I mean, as a counsellor who works in this organisation at Altar One, I often think through the lens of things like family systems and how... and look, the work that I do specifically is that more kind of one-on-one therapy, and that's fine because we are a school and I'm working with the clientele that I have. But I love what you're saying around that more holistic approach.
Yeah.
Where, I guess Salvation Army and Altar One, how can we best support the whole family, the whole family unit in the
context. Well, because your work, you're sending them back into the family unit, right?
Yeah.
You're sending them back into the community. They don't just live in a bubble.
Yeah, exactly.
And so how we actually... transforming community, because that's like our vision statement. There's a line that says, you know, transforming one life at a time with the love of Jesus. So how are we transforming communities? Not how are we building churches. Not how are we building buildings. The church is the people. So how are we transforming communities? That's a different approach, I think. And it's probably a community development approach. I think we're moving towards a community development approach, which is probably why my title is Faith Community Development. Rather than church growth, you know. And so we want to transform communities. We want for the Salvation Army to be so embedded in a community that it's transformed. And that if we were to move or to go, there would be a holistic whole there because we are living out Jesus' love so much.
I like that thought of taking faith into that public arena or that... space, because that's sort of where it should live, in a community space. It's not something that's just sort of tucked away in the corner or, you know, it's not relevant to the every day-to-day of people's world. I think there's a real beauty in the fact that the Salvation Army is moving in that direction. I mean, that's something I think that we, as Altar One, as an education provider, we can lean into that because that's what we're here for. We're here to help young people try and find that sense of future and wholeness, and it's just got to look different.
Yeah.
It's got to look totally different to
it doesn't devalue it. It just looks different. And I think that's some of the work our team are doing around how do we value where God is working that doesn't look like the traditional model. Like how do we actually value that and how do we resource that and how do we protect that? And because, like, God hasn't stopped moving. And we hear so much about the church is in decline, this is happening, this is happening. We hear so many negative things around that. But, you know, God is God and he reigns no matter what, right? And so I just don't believe that God stopped moving. I don't believe that God stopped igniting fires in people. I don't believe that God stopped talking to people. It's just they're not coming to people and organizations that maybe they've lost trust in and maybe they've lost faith in, but they haven't lost faith in God and they haven't lost faith in Jesus and they haven't lost faith in the Holy Spirit. They're very connected to that. So how do we then take them on that journey?
Yeah.
Interesting. You know, let's leave the mission to God and partner with him, or rather than saying that we have to do everything. Like, I just, it's just a different way of thinking, I suppose.
But I mean, it's different to us. I mean, we're obviously, as a school and as an education provider, we sort of occupy a different space, but we're working with local communities like yours who are wanting to make a difference and have, faith is a part of our organisation, but the driving force is to see kids
find
a future, get whole, get moving forward in their education journey. I was just thinking about with families, because you came and presented at one of our recent events.
I know, and you asked me back on the podcast. Sorry,
I love it, but just in regards to even just like just drilling in a little bit to Nate's question around some of those key factors about positively impacting families. Like, what have you seen? Like, what have you learned from some of the other research?
Yeah.
Like, one, people are sort of not wanting to get back into the busy. They're not wanting to go. Families aren't wanting to rush back into some stuff. They're picking up different things. They're doing things differently, including faith. Talk to me a little bit about other aspects of things you've seen that have been positive that's impacting family from your experience? Like, yeah. What are you finding? What's some things
so,
you can learn?
Like, you've linked in with the Garden of Hope that's happening out Armidale, and they do things. So alternatively, they have a garden, for one, not a building. And there's a lot of conversations around meals. Like, there's just relational building, long-term relational conversations. I mean, also we talk about a need. You have a need in education. We have a need in finance and household goods, and like the cost of living is just scary, and the housing crisis is just beyond what we can even think of right now. And so people are coming to us at their most vulnerable. And so who are they meeting when they come to us at their most vulnerable? I hope they're meeting Jesus, and I hope they're meeting, which, you know, I'm pretty confident about, they're meeting people who understand that it's hard and show grace and love to help them. And then a conversation can arise about, where does your peace come from? Where does your love come from? Like, how can you in this time be this person? And then we get to share that. So it's very one-on-one, it's very relational. Of course, we still have people coming to our gathered spaces and learning that way and coming in that way. It's not that we're not focused on that, because we still believe there's a space for the gathered church. There will always be a space for the gathered church. But how that gathered church connects with the community has to be a more sent approach than a come and see approach to, which we are. So the Salvation Army would consider themselves sent people.
Yeah.
I think that just somewhere, and we got a little bit lost, and we're just rediscovering who we are again and coming back out. So there's lots, for me, there's lots of little glimmers of hope everywhere. And like, we think of Balgar, and they have their early learning center, and they're dealing with, you know, families who, right at the start.
Yeah, a lot, like, of migrants in that.
Right community. At the start, you know, of vulnerability. And the work they do is amazing, with the families journeying along with them and helping the wider need. They bring their child.
Mm.
But then they get a whole community. Mm-hmm. And that's the key. It's not a one-prong approach. It's a multi-prong approach to how we journey with our communities.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much in that.
And in some ways it's, I mean, I know you use the word, like, contrasting it with the more traditional approach versus the more this approach. But in some ways, the truly traditional approach has always been the relational.
Yeah,
right?
That's right.
Like, I think through the lens of, both of our organized.
I don't think it's either or, it's both. Like, for me, it's like, I would hate for people to go, oh, we're not doing that anymore. I don't think it's as simple as that. I think, you know, I've just had an experience lately where a family are needing to walk through a traditional path of grief. Like, you know, family who otherwise maybe wouldn't attend church, but they want the ceremony around funeral, and they want the ceremony, the spiritual contact, and they want that. And I just really am mindful that for a lot of people, the pathway to express their spirituality does come with some rituals and does come with some traditions, and it's very important to them. But that's one way. And then there we have other ways where they're more fluid and it's different. It's not either or, it's together.
Mm.
And I think that's the key, is we're just better together.
Mm.
Like, I think that our organisation is better because we partner with you guys. Our organisation is better because we partner with other agencies, you know. And the kingdom of God is not defined by denominational tradition or ritual. It's defined by us being in awe of God and living out that in our everyday life, whatever format that looks like.
Yeah, no, that's great.
A good gig, just going to a pastry shop.
Yeah, that's right. I know some good ones.
I know. I digress. Andrew, I'm thinking of you in this podcast. Just want you to know, shout out to Andrew Jarvey, the other half. Nate, you want to?
Yeah, sure. How can those in education, so obviously I'm thinking in terms of Altorn, but even more broadly, how can those in education or mental health sector support communities like yours?
Do you know what, though, when I thought about this question, I thought, the question's wrong. I'm sorry. Look, I just got to go.
That's fine.
I think the question should be flipped. Said, how can we support you? Because I think that's what we're meant to do. Is like, how do we support you? Like, you guys have such a big job and we have a big job, but how do we come together and support each other? And the Salvation Army, like I said, want to take a posture of the guests in the community. So you're already there. And then how do we come in and how do we support you? And I don't think we want to come in and take over, but I suppose the the thing for me is just invite us in. Like, let's have conversations. We want to be welcomed into your spaces and we welcome you into our spaces. And so for us, it's not about what you can do for us or how you can help us. Let's just have some conversation about how we can work together and how we can support each other. Because I think about the tasks that you guys have set upon and in the education stream and in society today, that's really, and the kids that you are working with, you know, it's not a simple process. It's a lot. And the support we can give you around that is just even your staff and even praying for you. Like we're establishing a new partnership out, you know, the Armidale Gosnells Way, and we started everything with prayer. Like, we want to pray with you and, you know, believe that God will reign. So sorry to disagree with your question, but I think that it's more about how can we help you? How can we partner with you? And it comes with an invitation. Like, it just comes with an invitation. Like, how I came to be here was an invitation from Carly. So we shout out to Carly all the way up north now.
Yeah.
Said, let's have a cuppa. And then, like, that's the invitation, right? So for us, it's like, just invite us in and see what we can do together.
Yeah. Can you unpack? I'm just curious, like, that guest, that thought, or that, I guess that concept of being a guest, what does it mean to be one?
Well, when you walk into someone's house, you just don't go and help yourself to the fridge, right? You wait a while until you get to a season where it's like, oh, yeah, I can. You become part of the house. You become part of the community.
Yeah.
You wouldn't just walk into someone's house and go through their house and help yourself to whatever you need.
Yeah.
You would say, thank you for inviting me in. Let's get to know each other. Let's journey with each other and let's break bread together and let's meet together and then before you know it, you're in the kitchen cooking and helping and developing because you become part of the house, right?
Yeah.
So it's less a bulldozer approach to community engagement and more a, you know, a farmer sowing seeding sort of thing. You know, we're going to come together in this land and work together. And just I think having your posture matters in the community. Like if I turn up to local government or something, said, I'm here and this is what I need and this is what I want and blah, blah, blah. And you're going, you're assuming a lot of my community. You're assuming a lot of what's already happening. And we can do all the research in the world, but till you actually truly are in community, until you actually truly are embedded in that space, you really then understand what's going on.
Yeah,
yeah, very good.
It reminds me of the late pastor Eugene Peterson's translation of John 1:14, where he said in the Message translation that God became flesh and he moved into the neighborhood.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Right. I like
yes,
that.
That's right.
Yeah, like he moved into the neighborhood. That's it wasn't right. Like I'm just going to
take over
the neighborhood. It wasn't that I'm just going to insert myself in, maybe even for a little bit and then just leave. It was this deep in embedding within community.
Well, isn't that what Jesus did?
Yeah.
Like, so if you take a step back in all of that, I don't think Jesus just walked up along the beach one day and said, hey, come with me. I think there was a lot of, you know, the Bible might not fully unpack that, but, you know, there was a lot of, I'm sure, relational building that happened before people said, yeah, I'm going to go with this dude and see where he goes. And then when he went into communities, he didn't go in. Like, his reputation was so...
Yeah.
That when he entered, people wanted to engage with him.
Yes.
And so our representation needs to be so, our reputation needs to be so holy, for want of a better word, and grace-filled that people want to engage with us.
Yes.
And I think the Salvation Army does have that reputation, which we do not take for granted. Let me just tell you that. We don't take for granted, but we maybe haven't leveraged that in a way that we could, and I think we're doing that now.
That's awesome. No, it's fantastic.
So much good stuff in regards to just having that sort of posture. I think it's so important. I mean, it's important in any work where you're interfacing with people and supporting people, but definitely in your work and our work, I mean, the sort of work we're doing. I think, I always think about teaching when I ask anyone, no matter who it is, who is your teacher you hated, sorry teachers, like the person that you just didn't like, nearly every single person can remember.
Yeah, absolutely. Who that I person could tell is, you mine. I probably shouldn't name it.
And if you say, who was the person that you really, really enjoyed, in your class, like when you're growing up in school, most people can tell you.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And maybe they can tell you one or maybe two different teachers. And it's interesting when you're talking about posture, I think about the context of what we're working in, let alone in mental health. I mean, one of the biggest things for mental health is that alliance, that relational alliance that you've got, that therapeutic
alliance.
You don't have that, you're stuck.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah,
nothing's going to change, nothing's moving. So without it, it's super important. But that's a posture. That's a posture thing when it comes to engaging and bringing faith into a space. I'm thinking about this thought I had the other day, because you mentioned the word holy, but someone else who's a therapist, like well known in the US, she said that the part of the word holy and wholeness are connected together.
That's right.
And so I don't know if that's 100% true, but it sounded good. And
you're taking a run
with it. I'll take it and run with it. But I just thought of it in the context of a posture. If I'm working with people and we want to transform communities and we're a guest, well, I'm bringing my wholeness to that table and inviting people to along the same journey.
To bring their wholeness. And their wholeness might not be fully whole yet, right? But that's what their understanding is. And so who are we to then pick that apart? Like, you know, I think about your kids. I mean, you walk in and go, I know what's best for your life. You need to do this, 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 and this. And they're going to go,
More than that.
We can't, you know, keep a family show. But, like, you know, that's not how Jesus was. Like, he knew the community, he knew the people, and he journeyed with them. He would have known Judas wasn't going to really do the right thing in the end, but he loved him all the way to the end, right? So why can't we do the same?
And there would have been that level of vulnerability. Like, and I'm thinking in terms of the work that we do both at Salvos and Alter One, like even us being willing to take on that posture opens us up to that level of vulnerability. Mm-hmm. Like if we're gonna have this posture, we have to also be used to the what it brings up in us, that level 100%. Of uncomfort, of being willing to sit with the silences or being willing to sit with the questions and trying to work it out together. But I'm also reminded that even as we go into those spaces, both in our organisations, I'm reminded of the Great Commission, but not so much the sending part. We've talked a lot about that, but the bit before that, it says, well, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me, that being Jesus saying that.
And even so the other part, which says, and surely I will be with you.
Exactly.
Like, we've got to trust that God is with us.
That's right. It's bracketed by the authority and the presence. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be okay.
Yeah, that's right. Go in. Yeah. Well, we talk a lot about, you know, I'm sure that you would have the same as, you know, we've got to sacrifice for mission and we sacrifice. But what is that sacrifice? And often we go, oh, you know, it's financial or it's this. But sometimes we have to just sacrifice our own ego and our own desire to want to step in and just hold back. Yeah. And sometimes that's the sacrifice. Mm. Yes. In that very moment, we have to come to this sacrificial place of, I am not the saviour. Jesus is the saviour. Mm. I am just the messenger. I am just the disciple. I am just the person who will introduce them to Jesus. Like, we don't save anyone. Jesus has done all that for us. And we need to let go of our ego around that and realise that that's out of our control. All we can do is actually just be as much of Jesus as we can in that moment for that person. And the sacrifice might be, just shut up. Don't say a thing.
Yeah.
You know, and I can tell you, for me, that's a difficult struggle. I've got a full confession here. But I think also, you know, sometimes it is, hold that thought for a moment and wait for them to come to it themselves. Because isn't that more powerful?
Yes.
When someone comes to realization themselves.
Mm.
And when, I mean, isn't there, like for me, is there nothing better than sitting with someone and suddenly a Holy Spirit light bulb goes off and you know it's going off and you can see it in their face and you know you've just sat and watched a miracle happen, right? Don't we long for that?
Yeah.
So let's not interrupt it. Like, let's allow that to happen.
And that can take years.
Oh.
I mean, literally decades. A guest. I like that thought of a guest and what it means. Like, when you're a guest, you all the pressure's off.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, like, there's no agenda. You're not necessarily coming in with a whole bunch of that sort of stuff. There's a flexibility, I think, a maturity in that flexibility as well, emotionally as well, to be able to just lean into a space and just take it for what it is.
Yes.
Because I'm not trying to control it all.
Yeah.
So this, like I had a recent call on the holidays on just the week before, and it was talking about seeds and all that sort of stuff and change and seeing people come to a point of change. 35 years later, this person is now, 20 years ago they were part of Alter One, where they were one of the original six students.
Wow.
And called.
Yeah.
I haven't spoken to them in 6 or 7 years.
Mm.
And they have gone back to some of the places of faith, family values, things that that weren't even on the radar for them, let alone possibly even oppose. But all the way through, they'd invite us in as a guest.
Mm.
Could you come and do my, could you come and dedicate my children?
Yep.
Could you come and do my wedding ceremony?
Yep.
Wow.
And,
yep.
And now they're sitting in a space in a community where one of our campuses is and saying, hey, I actually feel a real call to come back and give back.
Brilliant.
And I was like, come on.
Yeah. That's awesome.
It doesn't get any better than that. So, yeah, just because I'm conscious of time too, if there was one burning thought to share with our listeners, because consider the teachers, there's mental health people, there could be families, people, other people from other communities listening with us today. If there's one burning thought to share with our listeners on community impact, what would it be? Even though I feel like you've said it.
Well, I suppose.
Burning thought.
Look, because I am a minister of the word, it would be remiss of me not to remind people that we serve a big God, but we're not God. And that sometimes we can get caught up with this overwhelming task that we feel like has been given to us, and we get caught up in the doing the right thing. But really, we're just called to love our communities and let God sort out the rest. I always say to people, I just think when I get to heaven and I see Jesus, he's not going to tell me off for loving people too much. He's not going to say, Di, look, sorry, you love that person way too much. That's just not how it's supposed to be. I just think if all we can do is love our communities with a genuine love, I just think God's going to be okay with that. He'll sort all the rest out. I always imagine myself standing before Jesus, and we're going to be held account for our lives, right? This is what it tells us. Good golly, have I got some stuff he'll have to deal with. But I hope that he's not going to say, you love too much, Di. And there's so many things that in our communities around the brokenness and the pain and the hurt and the grief, and we can get caught up in the theology of that, or we can get caught up in the denominational approach on that, and we can get caught up in our own thoughts and our own traditions around that. But what if we just put all that aside and loved? What could that look like? Like, I'm not saying we should, you know, scrap all that, but we can hold all that intention, because God does. He holds all that intention all the time, and time is irrelevant to him. So my one thing would be, our communities are waiting for us to love them. Why don't we just go do that?
Yeah,
and wouldn't it be great if we could do it together?
Beautiful.
Oh, praise God. That's awesome.
Beautiful. Well, there you go, team. If you're listening, hopefully you are. So many rich thoughts in the conversation today. Thanks, Diane. It's been awesome.
Look, it's always great to hang out with you, Mark.
You guys are the best. We just love it. And if you don't know much about the Garden of Hope Alter One team, go and find out about it, because it's incredible. Go and ask Peter Bolt, one of our vet coordinators, some incredible stuff.
They've got
this amazing space. It's just gorgeous. But there's so many really, really great things that came out of today, and just sort of ticking away inside of me. I want to sing We Are the People in Your Neighbourhood song, but right now, probably not a good time, and some people won't even know what that song is.
That?
No, probably not. Probably not at all. Nathan hates these questions, but I like these. Okay, here's a really quick fire questions. One word, one word answers, really, really fast, whilst we end on
this
a really
high
note.
This is your first podcast, are you sure?
Okay. No, yes, it's beautiful. Okay, what streaming series are you watching currently, or what are you reading right now?
Actually, I'm reading Alan Hirsch's book, The Red One. Oh, come to me. That's so embarrassing. Anyway, I'm reading Alan Hirsch.
Alan Hirsch is a missiologist, very good author. Check him out.
Forgotten Waves, there it is.
Forgotten Waves.
Beautiful. Okay.
Forgotten Waves. All right.
If you had to choose a song that defines your current season, what would it be, Diane?
Yeah, that's a good question, Mark.
I think I'm happy. Like, clap along.
Pharrell.
I'm happy. I'm pretty happy. Pretty happy.
All right.
That's good.
I love it. Dig it. All right. One thing in either work, relationships, or life that you're working on that's making you come alive right now.
Well, I suppose my new role. I'm really excited about some of the work we've got to do.
Very exciting.
For our organisation to really release resources for the front line and actually take. My hope is the work we do over the next 12 months will actually allow some pressure to be taken off the front line to think about things a little differently.
Yeah, wonderful.
Very cool. Well, it has been a pleasure, and thank you. And I don't think this will be the last time we get you in here.
So. You might have to get Javi in.
Oh, the Andrew.
Yeah, then there's a whole different.
Gosh, geez, what if we get both of you?
I don't know if this room could take that.
Well, thanks everybody for listening. We're going to sign off. Love you. Appreciate you all. And keep going strong.
Boom. Chakalaka.
You have been listening to Heartbeat. If you haven't done so yet, please subscribe to the show and share far and wide. This has been a podcast produced by Alter One College. To find out more about Alter One College, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn, or visit the college website at www.alter-one.com.au.